The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Cyberspace, the digital frontier. These are the episodes of the podcast Nerdy Show, its continuing mission to explore strange news stories, to seek out new technologies and geeky media, to boldly discuss what no nerd has discussed before.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Nikki.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
And this is a brand new format of Nerdy Show.
All new, all shiny.
Yeah, and all nude.
Maybe a little more sparkly.
Only some of us are nude right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, some of us.
Selective nudity here. But anyway, it's a new format. This is happening every other week. And we are going back in time, spicing up with something from the future, and we got this strange little new Nerdy Show, baby. Here's how it's going down. Back in the day, we used to do shows weekly live on the radio in 2009 when Nerdy Show started. It was a topical show. We talked about the nerd things happening and all the different respective genres and subcategories and all that. Over time, we got more refined. We started doing things differently. We ended up turning into like a very topical show where the host roster would change. Well, now we're doing things old school, but new school. So we're going to be doing every other week a show where we talk about the latest things happening in the nerd world. We got this group of hosts, somewhat interchangeable, but you're going to start to recognize the faces here.
I'm very interchangeable.
A little bit.
You keep listening, you're going to recognize our faces.
Yeah.
Yep. Should I retake something here?
No, fuck it. We're live.
Okay. You got Brandon here. You're familiar with Brandon. You know Brandon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm Brandon.
You probably know Boar. He was on the Derpy Show. Remember that? That Derpy Show?
I do remember a Derpy Show really vividly since, you know, I edited and produced every single episode.
That's right.
And was in every single episode and has heard it more than anyone else on the planet.
I've never heard of that show.
Wow.
It's terrible.
Good. What is good.
It's terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm.
I edited it, so it's going to end up sounding like this.
And we got Nikki, who's brand new. She ain't never been on any of this shit before.
Hey, nice to meet you guys. I did, for a while, film and edit a comic show, so I'm familiar with you guys, but
that's
you guys aren't familiar. Yeah. Me, behind the scenes.
And now on the scene.
And now behind a mic.
And we're going to be talking about all kinds of pop culture gobbledygook.
And random.
Random stuff.
Fan films that are wonderful.
Or not so wonderful, depending.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll get into that later.
If any Trekkies are out there, this is for you.
Yeah, there's going to be some Trek conversations. Just going to let you know that it might go a little deep for you, but just bear with us here.
If you know what dilithium crystals are, you're good. You're there. You made it.
We're going to be talking about some comic books. Lots of video game news, rumors, gossip, reviews, and let's see what, Until Dawn,
King's Quest.
Castlevania.
Ooh, yeah, we'll get into that.
And be sure to go to the Nerdy Show homepage to this actual post for this episode where we'll be posting lots of links to the stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah, as always, all the respective links to the things we talk about.
You have to bring that up now, because who knows where these people are coming from? Are you coming from SoundCloud? Are you downloading this on iTunes? I don't know if you've ever even seen nerdyshow.com, but if you haven't, you should go.
Yeah, there's an episode page for this episode, and it'll be filled with links where you can watch and reference all this stuff, or even go directly to where you can buy them through Amazon, which will probably give us a percentile. You should totally do it.
You should charge a convenience fee for all that.
We should, shouldn't we?
We should, but we don't.
Ta-da. How crazy.
We're for the people.
So let's start with video games. This could evolve into an ongoing discussion over time, but I do want to mention Splatoon because we haven't talked about it on the show, but meanwhile, behind the scenes, myself and John and Jessica and other Nerdy Show hosts have all been becoming hybrid squid children and blasting each other with juices. And
which is usually a normal thing you guys do anyway, but now you can do it digitally.
Right, yeah, yeah. For fun. For fun with friends online. And it's a really interesting concept because Nintendo rolled out this multiplayer. It's got a great, you know, good, fun vibe to it. They've sort of been staging how it rolls out. When the game came out, it had fewer levels and fewer modes of play, and they've been staggering the release of different weapons and maps and modes of play and everything. It's been a really good evolution, really worthy of its own topic of discussion, but they do this thing called a Splatfest. Are you guys familiar with the Splatfest at all?
Not mm-hmm. at all.
It's a once a month for 24 hours. Everybody on Splatoon gets together, they choose sides, and each side vies for victories in the end, and it all totals up, and you find out which thing won. The first one that they did in America was cats versus dogs. In Japan, it was bread versus rice.
Well, we all know who won that one.
I actually don't know who won
bread.
That one. It's actually kind of funky because normally it is an international game, but on Splatfest they do go region specific, which is weird. Hmm. And it's been kind of spotty lately. The last one they did was which tastes better roasted on a stick, marshmallows or weenies.
Sorry, that's really funny to me.
They said hot dogs, but I said weenies. But it's a cool interactive game because you can create graffiti, and it pops up like when you're hanging out with people in the plaza, it'll be populated by people you've battled against. Their graffiti will show up. Graffiti can be propagated by people like kind of being like, yeah, I like this. And it'll actually show up as in-game graffiti in the world, which is super cool.
Like
and
on the walls?
Like
or
on
something?
The walls, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
There's a video of a guy just getting graffiti of dicks in every like stage forever. It's really funny.
It is Nintendo does relegate
they police
that.
It a bit.
Yeah.
No, are you talking about the one where the guy was going around the level drawing like giant ones throughout the whole level?
It was effectively drawing a dick.
Cap is talking about actually drawing out little things.
And then it just appears like images.
Yeah, into the plaza.
Right. But this guy was creating a dick shape by inking the map. That's what you're talking about. So you can do this, and it's cool. It's fun. Like during the hot dog thing and the marshmallow thing, they had pictures of like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or like Rigby from Regular Show with the hot dog. You know, like good stuff like that. But they announced the new Splatfest. It's about to happen, and it has been somewhat controversial. It's Autobots versus Decepticons. It's an officially branded Transformers Splatfest.
Why is it controversial? Just because there's commercial element to it?
Because everybody in this highly commercial Nintendo game is being like, oh my god, selling out, like, nice product placement.
I thought it was controversial. I thought you were going to mention, like, it's like a particular race or religion versus another one. I was like, oh, damn. But nope, Transformers.
It is. It's Autobots versus Decepticons.
Yeah, that's a race and a religion. But I think it's cool as hell, personally. I kind of think there's no issue here. It's a commercial game. We shouldn't be blinding ourselves to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's Nintendo.
They did a movie with Marky Mark. Come on.
Yeah, they did. So, whatever. So, after the way that they stagger releases of certain features, items, and functions, does the game still feel fresh even after being out for this long?
Oh, yeah. No, it stays very fresh.
Do those items and stuff, like, vastly change the way that the game plays, or are they pretty... Are we talking about, like, different guns, attachments, something like
that?
Yeah,
no, we're talking about, like, they will have completely new weapon concepts that sort of change the way you could play the game. It all stays quite balanced, actually, but, like, there's, you know, it started with, like, machine guns, pistols, sniper rifles, stuff like that, equivalents and splatting stuff, but then, like, recently it's been like, here's a bucket. It's a bucket, and you slosh people with a bucket, and it has a whole different way that it behaves compared to other weapons.
It kind of sounds like, the whole thing kind of reminds me of TF2, Team Fortress 2.
Mm. Yeah, there's some similarities there, yeah.
Because they started adding a bunch of really crazy weapons over time.
I mean, the formula works, so I guess.
Are there hats?
No. I mean, there are hats, but it's not like stackable.
Are they collectible?
You can change your hat.
Do they unlock? There's equipment.
Can you buy them for money?
Yes.
Really? To all those things? It's totally Team Fortress 2.
Well, kind of. Buying equipment and filling that equipment with different stat boosting things is an important part of Splatoon to customize your Splatoon experience. Because
what do you mean by stats? Like your character, like my character could be like a higher level than somebody else's character and like better at painting or something?
No, but okay. It's like there's abilities, and each piece of clothing can have up to three kind of placeholders for that, for extra abilities, which you unlock, and it's a roulette. You don't know what you're going to get. To wipe those clean, to change that up, that costs money as well. You earn money from playing the game, and you can randomly customize based on kind of roll of the dice, but also selective, you know, maneuvers to get the best stats for what you want.
Gotcha. I was just trying to figure out if it's like an MMO or something.
No.
You won't get like 4 to HP and 2 to strength and like nothing like that.
But it's a fun, cool game. And I think that I just wanted to bring it up mostly because of the cross-pollination here with the Transformers, which is an interesting thing that's happened. I think it's really cool. Like, I think it's neat that Nintendo and Hasbro are like, yo, let's do something weird.
Right, they're getting to the issues that matter as opposed to the dog and the cat thing and the mm-hmm. the food on a stick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the issues that matter, like Transformers.
Yeah, and I chose Autobots.
Do you think that they're going to get political once the election ramps up even harder? Like, have Splatoon try to predict who's going to be the next president
Trump
or something?
Trump versus D's nuts.
Yeah, they could have primaries.
Even if they went as far as, like, donkeys versus elephants, I'd be like, holy shit, guys, you have opened a bag full of angry cats.
I was just about to say, I would still vote for cats.
Team Cat didn't win. It was rough. We all fought. Dang. Fought hard for Team Cat, but...
Did you just say it was rough? Was that on purpose?
It was not on purpose, but my mind works in mysterious ways.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Let's actually go to something else in kind of the movie and television neck of the woods. There's a fan film that came out recently, a feature-length Star Trek fan film. It's called Star Trek Renegade, and it features actors from both the original series and Star Trek Voyager, maybe others as well. I actually haven't seen it, but all you guys have.
It's got Tuvok.
Yeah, it's mainly original series and Voyager characters, strangely enough.
And did anybody else notice Grant from Mythbusters?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, who Random. Was he? What? Really?
Yeah. What was his character?
He was the Asian guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, which Star Trek show is he in?
I don't
want
to spoil who he is, but no, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely some spoilers around, but
I'm gonna have
we have to try
myself.
To hold those back.
Can we do the rundown of the plot for Cap? Does anyone know it well enough what happened to do the rundown of the plot? Oh, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure I do. Okay, so basically what had happened was they all of a sudden just started losing their dilithium. It just started...
The Federation's like, oh shit, dilithium.
Dilithium mines were being attacked.
Oh, okay.
Well, they were disappearing as well.
Like the whole planet.
The whole planet
like,
that the mines were on were just like blinking out of existence,
they
basically.
They were practically like imploding. Like they would just suck into a black hole, gone. And no one knows what's up. No one knows what's causing it. And it's kind of like they have to go over the Federation's head because they're not going to do anything about it. So,
which doesn't make sense to me, but yes.
Yeah. Chekov, who is now like head of the Starfleet Academy.
Yeah. Chekov is still alive in Voyager times. He explains that he's
143. I wrote it down. 143
years old.
Oh, yes. And has a great, great.
Due to advances in medical technology, even though he looks like he's 90.
Okay, I gotta jump in with a little bit of a thing.
I feel that's believable.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that if we have advances in medical technology that keep us alive, they'll probably keep us alive at like a little bit lower of an age than
right.
Cap, well, there's like so much exposition in this between characters. You know, like, you don't know anything about these characters, and after they're done, they're like, "Hey, I know you. You did that thing with that one time. You said you wouldn't mention that, but we did that thing that one time, and now I'm here." Like every character has that, and it's all rushed and forced.
Yeah.
But the thing is the entire movie, as low production as it may have been.
It's like a season one Doctor Who.
It's supposed to be like more of like a pilot episode for a TV series they're trying to get with the same cast.
Now, I feel like what they were trying to do would work a heck of a lot better as a series because it felt really, really rushed. Like they're trying to cram in everything that they could and they're trying to like force you to give a crap about these characters.
And you're like, I don't.
And you're like, I don't connect with any of these yet. And you're trying to force it. And I don't like that. But it kind of felt like a fan fiction because of that. It most definitely is. But when you have like, you know, Tim Russ in there directing it and starring in it and, you know, Chekhov and all these other characters that, you know, you can really identify with, then you expect it to be like, hey, I'm getting into Star Trek.
There were a few scenes where they made it like really like epic. And you're like, well, why is it epic? Why do I care? Like you have this main character who's the daughter of Khan somehow.
Yeah,
Lexa. She comes. She's just walking.
Is she the
in
daughter? Because they mainly
I
just
swear
said that
they said you're the daughter.
No,
of
she is
Sun
definitely
Sing.
Like blood related, but I don't believe they said.
Oh,
that
I thought
she
they said
was...
daughter. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I could be wrong.
I think it might have been because Khan was created basically. So for him to like have a, I'm pretty sure that he thought of the other ones who were like augments. He thought of them as like his children.
Well, they call her so, a descendant. So
Well, she comes walking in slow motion when they like she gets out of this prison, and it's all like epic, and I'm like, why do I don't even know her. Why do I care? This is great. She's taking command of her ship again. Okay.
Yeah, it's basically Tuvok and Chekhov break her out of being imprisoned on Orion, and
Tuvok is the head of Section 31, which if you've watched Deep Space Nine,
makes no sense.
And Tuvok is a character.
They changed.
Okay, but Tuvok is a character who is not okay with blatantly killing people, and they made him be okay with like assassinating world leaders. Like, we need to take this guy out.
Wow.
And like ordering people who are renegades who are out of Starfleet.
Yeah, the
to
random.
Kill people.
I think we should go over the random characters that are in here. We already mentioned that Admiral Chekhov is one of them.
Princess Leia in a Bosch
Tuvok,
outfit.
And then who else do we have?
The
we
Doctor, had, right?
The Doctor from Voyager.
I watched
Robert
the trailer.
Picardo. He played Louis Zimmerman, who was the creator of the holographic Doctor.
That was my next question. Actually, was is it the hologram who came back from the Delta Quadrant?
No, it is the creator.
That actually probably would have been way better if they would have just used that character. But no, another notable character, Admiral Paris, who was Tom Paris's dad.
From Voyager.
Same actor, totally random. Like, he had almost no impact on Voyager at all. But they were like, oh, well, he's going to be a big thing. And another one from Voyager, Icheb.
Yeah.
Who is one of the liberated Borg from, like, wasn't it the last two seasons?
Didn't understand his magic
arm. Halfway.
No, it was like the last two seasons that
Icheb,
they found the
with
little...
the kids? Yeah. All of them? Yeah, and basically, his character is very jaded now.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years since they made it back to Earth, and he is super jaded. And did you know that the guy Fixer?
Yeah.
Edward
Furlong. Edward
John
Furlong
Connor
was in this
from
movie.
Terminator 2 and like the main character from
engineer?
Pet Sematary 2.
No.
Yeah.
Eddie Furlong is in this fucking movie.
Yeah. Yes.
The squealy boy from T2.
He didn't age well because at first I was like, did they cast Kid Rock as the engineer? I was like, that's Kid Rock. He's like, no, that's Eddie Furlong.
I cannot fucking believe that.
No, by this age, he is supposed to be the leader of us all against the robots.
Oh, you know who else is in it? Parker fucking Lewis. Corn Nemec.
I know him best from SG-1.
Okay, well, here's the problem is he fucking lost at least 3 times. So I was really upset. Every battle he lost. Spoilers.
But he can't lose.
he did, and I was really upset about that. I mean, the one thing I thought this movie did well to stay true to Star Trek, besides having actual characters from it, is they mentioned dilithium crystals a lot, which is what you do. Which is what you do in Star Trek. You're like, oh, dilithium crystals, shit. So they did that well, but like, there are scenes, Cap, where Chekhov
they mentioned dilithium crystals a lot.
Yeah, that's how you.
That's
stay
a
true
good
to
takeaway.
Yeah,
that was the good part. The bad part is scenes like he was saying where Chekhov is sitting at his desk and two of his like great-great-granddaughters in, or his granddaughter comes in with her friend.
No, his great-great-granddaughter.
Great-great-granddaughter with her friend. He's like, this is my great-great-grandfather Chekhov. And she's like, oh, I heard about you. You did this, this, and this, and you were a great blah, blah, blah. But, and
yeah,
he's
they
like,
were
and I'm
really...
143 years old. And it's like, wow, thank you for telling me how you're still alive and all the things you've just done.
And Vic Mignogna was in it, too. I think he was one of the blue alien guys that have never been in any sort of Star Trek before.
No, the blue guys. Oh, you mean the ones that had, like, the Ninja Turtle mouths?
The main villains.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That
I'm sorry.
Were some new alien race.
I thought you were
race.
Talking about the, like, girl with the antennae, because the,
oh, no,
she
that, that's
an
Andorian.
Enterprise.
No, she's
like
an
Shiana
Andorian.
From Farscape.
By the way, I'd just like to butt in here and Farscape. Say, if you've never followed Star Trek, I'm sorry, because this is, I didn't think we could possibly get this specific, but we totally
oh,
have.
Yeah, we can.
No,
we
if can. I'm here, we can get really specific with Star Trek. But she was actually an Andorian, which brings me to the point of they were trying to shove as many Star Trek races into this as
I
they possibly could.
At least they used old races that I haven't seen in a while.
You made a list?
I made a list.
Oh,
of
unload.
Some of,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Besides the new ones with the Ninja Turtle mouths, I don't know what...
I
don't even know what they were called because they didn't establish those
exactly.
characters properly.
Exactly.
It's like a new
I didn't even care about them.
Yeah.
So obviously we had the humans, Khan's daughter, if whatever you
whatever
want to call her.
Augment humans.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have Icheb, who
liberated
was a
Borg.
Who became not Borg and is now
has a magic.
He's actually
arm.
A species from the Delta Quadrant, so that's not a normal Star
oh,
Trek.
Oh, that's right, because
species.
I forgot about that. His nose. I just get distracted.
So he's a liberated Borg from the
he's
Delta
a Borg.
Quadrant.
Yeah, he's
so
a Borg.
He's not a human. He's a Borg. And then they used him for some other stuff. So now he's not even whatever he was. I don't want to spoil too much, but again, jaded. And then we have the Cardassian. We have the Bajoran. And then, of course, we have some holograms and stuff like that. And then,
are they,
by the way,
nice
Breen. Breen, which is a rarely used one. Mm. He was one of the main, like, characters. He was one of the main crew.
He was.
They had a shapeshifter. Did anyone else notice?
No, there wasn't a shapeshifter. He had, like, holographic illusions.
Is that what that was? Yeah. I was really confused. Did they explain
That's why
it
he was wearing
point?
That weird vest.
Oh, I just thought that was his outfit.
No.
Like, it's his style. And he's, like, kept shapeshifting. I was like, is he a
shapeshifter? They did not explain it at all.
Okay,
but
yeah,
it was, like, I picked up that it was holographic from one.
All I knew is he was
one, there was a lot of holographic crap going on in this movie. And two, it was, like, the shimmery effect. It wasn't, like, a body morph.
I just thought it was low budget.
It was very low budget, and they didn't explain anything very properly.
Did you notice the one robot guy?
The princess,
who was on...
the guy wearing the mask that Princess Leia is wearing when she saves Han Solo. Cap is literally the outfit.
It is ridiculous.
Are you talking? Oh, wait, are you guys talking about the Breen
on the Renegade ship?
Yeah, he's a Breen.
Is he?
Okay, that's an established Star Trek race.
Well, can you explain to me why he's wearing the exact mask?
It's a refrigerator suit.
No, the helmet
it's a refrigeration suit.
I went back and looked. It is literally the exact mask, though, from Star Wars, from Bosch, that Princess Leia
is
wearing.
It is verbatim a Breen from Deep Space Nine.
I'm just saying, look it up. Look it up.
I understand that, but we're saying
yeah,
it was
no, he totally looks
originally
like that.
From
It totally
Star Wars.
Does look
it
like
is,
that.
It is 100% the mask.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just trying to say they didn't make it up for this movie.
It had the same voice almost, too.
Okay. But, like, it's an hour and a half. It's on YouTube for free. Would you recommend watching it? Because it sounds like there's a lot of problems. It sounds like it's pretty problematic.
If you like dilithium crystals, if you're concerned about the future of, like, the market share of dilithium crystals, yeah, you would totally be interested in this. Who wouldn't be?
It's like making a fan film for Back to the Future and being like, well, they said plutonium a lot, so...
And I can't blame them for everything, because they didn't have as much money as they would like for this, and they still did a really good job.
I don't know, like, I would pick that movie apart so hard if I had to get into, like, a really detailed analysis of it. Like, I didn't even like that the way that they framed most of the shots. Like, there was just almost every single shot where there was a person in it, 40% of that screen was one person's head.
Well, there were probably Stargates in this, too. I think there were, actually.
Yeah.
And then there was that weird technology that was blowing up planets, slash you could travel with it.
It was like Dragon Ball.
I don't...
Like, with the disappearing planets.
I don't understand the ending, by the way. I don't know if anyone does, but I don't understand anything that happened. So, I don't want to spoil it, but I still don't understand.
Yeah, well, then you can't spoil it if
all,
you didn't
all
really
I can say
it.
Is the captain says a quote about something about, like, she's the captain of her own fate or some BS, but it's like... During the whole movie, you realize no,
they were trying
isn't.
To make it super dramatic.
No, I mean,
the good guys kill a bunch of Klingons out of nowhere. They just kill them.
That's
I'm just
fine.
Saying that. Yeah.
Well, at the time, they did have a Nausicaan as a captain, and Nausicaans are just kind of worse than Klingons
well,
as far as aggression goes.
He shouldn't have been in charge.
He definitely shouldn't. There were so many problems with that movie. Mm-hmm. I would say no.
Cap,
as a Star Trek fan, I would say don't watch it.
How are you liking the story synopsis? It looked like you were getting a little sleepy.
Yeah. I'm not sure about this one. I'm not sure about allotting time to watch this.
Yeah.
My overall review was meh.
Anyway, maybe to conclude this, there's also a second project. It's a similar fan fiction thing. I think it's being done by a different group, but it's called Axanar, and that one is still in the filming phase.
How do they get, like... How are they allowed to do this, by the way? Do you know?
I have absolutely no idea how they're allowed to do this.
I was actually like, how do they get to do this?
They are not, but they are, because, quite frankly, you know, people who are fans of the original developing Star Trek universe have nowhere to turn to now because it's been rebooted effectively.
Just saying all these people hate J.J. Abrams.
Oh. Well, I don't know if they hate him, but they accept that it's a separate timeline and one that's not going to be explored by mainstream media because that's not in their interest. So here they are. And they're okay with that because... The big companies know that these people aren't being serviced and they're going to do what they want. It's just not in their interest to do anything in that universe, so they won't. But as such, they're okay with the fans doing it.
That makes sense.
Now,
but at the same time, with fan projects that, you know, have been on abandoned IPs, I've seen them get shut down really hard, too. So I could see where Brandon was coming from there.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I mean, they just shut down that Alien fan film that was about Newt all grown up in a universe where Aliens 3 and Resurrection never happened.
Oh, but I love Resurrection so much.
The theory is, and I mean, I do too. I really respect Alien 3 and 4, but it had the original actress who played Newt, reprising her role as Newt in this film that had a really high production value, looked really good. Everybody was on board, and it got shut down recently. And the theory is it's because it is so similar to what they're doing with the new Alien film, which, you know, allegedly doesn't undo 3 and 4, but maybe kind of does. You know, no one's really sure.
Did they already start like production, or were they like close to finish when they got shut down, or we don't know?
I'm not really sure.
Well, that seems a lot more risky because they're dabbling with a project that's like an active IP that they're still
that they weren't
developing.
We all know
stuff
they're making
for.
More stuff for. So whereas Star Trek, you're pretty much like, well, that universe is kind of done with. They can do whatever at this point.
Brandon, you recently beat the first chapter of King's Quest.
Oh my god. So a new King's Quest game came out, and like I talked about it a bit when we went to E3 and all that, but holy shit, it's completely narrated by Christopher Lloyd, and it is a really fun experience. Let me describe it a bit for you, because I know you want me to. It feels like a Telltale game, but it is not a Telltale game, and it is 100% a puzzle game like the old King's Quest games. Essentially, the original King's Quest games, you would find items, or you would type things in, and you use those items in certain ways. The reason I say it reminds me of a Telltale game is because you will use these items to affect the game completely. You will change everything in the game. There are so many different options and paths that will change the narration of the story. And everything you do, every single choice, every single action is completely narrated by an older Christopher Lloyd. Well, he is old. Christopher Lloyd playing the old King Graham, narrating his younger self. So if you go to like chop down a tree, he'll be like, I didn't feel like chopping that tree down that day. And you'll be like, well, fuck you, I want to do it anyway. And he's like, I said I didn't do that. And the whole game is very funny like that. Best parts of the game are the witty humor, where you have, you remember Princess Bride, Vicini?
Yeah.
Okay, that guy, Wallace Shawn, is in the game. He plays basically a intelligent mastermind, and there's even parts of the game where he's about to say like inconceivable, but he's like inconsiderate, or just like things. Yeah,
that's pandering, but it's cute. Yeah.
Okay, there's I don't want to spoil too much, but the scene from Princess Bride where they play the little roulette with the drinks and the poison, it's totally completely in this game with him. So, and this is chapter one out of I think 5 or 6, and there's so many elements to the story that he's like, but we'll get to that later. They haven't explained yet, so they'll be in other chapters, and they're going to be retellings of like the first 4 or 5 games. So basically this was the retelling of the very first game. Somehow they retold a game with like 20 screens in a several hour long game.
And I assume that your choices from the first chapter are going to carry over to the next one.
I don't know yet.
They haven't.
I'm assuming that's how it works. I don't know, but I'm assuming yes. But okay. Yeah. But yeah, your actions in the story affect what happens.
Have you played
in the
old King's Quest games?
Oh god, yes.
Okay.
Oh god, yes.
How does it feel like compared to those, as far as the amount of?
It's. I think it's obviously
like, how lost do you feel all the time?
You don't feel lost. It's a little bit. I'd say it's a little childish and a little easy. There's a few points where I got stuck. But even though it's a little childish, it's very funny and it's very enjoyable. And like the original game had no story. You would like walk into a building, type open the door, talk to the king, and he's like, find these 3 items and you'll get my kingdom. And it's kind of similar, where it's like you have trials, and whichever knight does these trials, which are like the items from the first game, will get to inherit this crappy, shitty, crumbling kingdom and can rebuild it in their own image. And that's basically the first entire chapter of this, is you trying to do that. And nice. it's got the dragon in the cave, and they make a whole story out of it that did not exist before. And it's something that you really need to pick up. All of you sitting in this room need to play
this. I mean, it's multi-platform. You can play it on whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whenever you want.
You had me at Christopher Lloyd.
That's all I tell people. Is like, okay, it's a King's Quest game, and Christopher Lloyd narrates every action you do. And they're like, oh, bought it. Done. So I had it. Let me see. It didn't take that long to beat. Like, I played for like 9 hours, which is probably too long. And there's still several different ways you can play it over again. I really want to see all the different outcomes and things that affect the rest of the game. So,
yeah.
That's cool. I was already considering buying it, but I think you pushed me over the top.
No, I mean, just because Christopher Lloyd's in it, you should get it. You don't need to know anything else. Really.
I mean, I played a bit of it at E3, and it was great.
Like I said, it's not the most challenging thing. You're not going to struggle through like, oh god, what do I use this item on? And there may be one or two parts you'll be like, well, I really don't know where to use this item. But that's about it. The games they're saying are going to get more challenging as it goes on further, when like Graham gets more. He's kind of a goof, like, you know, the hero who's like really goofy, and his dumb luck saves the day. But as he grows up, he gets more wiser. And I think based on the actions you take, They're completely based on, like, if you're using brute strength, your intelligence, or, like, I don't even know what the third one is, like, just sheer dumbass luck. But that affects how he acts later on. So I think that'll change the rest of the chapters. And exponentially, I think it'll just branch to some sort of staggering level of the choices you've made over, like, 5 or 6 chapters.
Huh, interesting. So.
That's all I got to say about that shit.
Brandon, recently you told me that the long gestating project of a new Pee-wee Herman film is actually getting going for the first time in years.
I think it was greenlit. Whatever that business like movie term means, I think whatever that means, it happened. It was the light was green.
That means somebody said, "Okay, do it."
Yeah, it's now farther along than it has been, and this project's been in the books for years. It's going to be called Pee-wee's Big Holiday, and it may be coming out in 2016.
Ooh. And who's making it? Cap, you know the name.
This is my favorite part. This is my favorite part because I was excited at the premise of a new Pee-wee Herman movie, especially one geared more towards adults, which this is said to be. But I was triply excited when I found out who's directing it, none other than John Lee from PFR, as in the guys who made Wonder Chosen, Xavier Renegade Angel, The Heart She Holler, Delocated.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
This is not just for adults. This is for people who are just fucking weird.
What?
And possibly psychotic. I cannot wait. It is very exciting. And this movie has changed so many hands at this point when they were like, this one is, he's actually going to direct it. I was like, holy shit.
I just don't even know what to imagine or
you
picture
can't.
In
That's
my head.
You can't.
I mean, this is a guy whose entire career has been in some ways inspired by the original Pee-wee's Playhouse, but like creating the most warped version of it possible.
Oh.
And I cannot wait. I don't know if you guys have watched like one of his most recent projects, The Heart She Holler, but oh my God.
It's so good and messed up.
Three seasons of Southern Gothic nightmares. Just like about a small town of like inbreds with weird stuff going on and a dad who lives on inside of videotapes that his son who is locked in the wall puts in to answer questions for him. And
he always has an answer for him.
Where can I see this?
It's on Adult Swim. Most of these were Adult Swim shows.
Mm-hmm. So Hulu.
Yeah, you know, internet somewhere.
I forget where the rights to Adult Swim digital broadcasts are presently, but they're
out
there somewhere.
You can stream a lot of them on their website.
In fact, there is a lot on adultswim.com, and it's one of those shows that may actually be up there in its entirety right now.
I know Rick and Morty you can just watch off adultswim.com, but I think you have to like log in with your cable provider login or something.
But that only works if you have an applicable cable provider, for example. In
exactly.
Orlando, Bright House doesn't work.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
But it's being written by Paul Reubens, Pee-wee Herman, of course.
Oh, jeez.
And also Paul Rust, who is one of the guys who's done some work for Comedy Bang Bang.
I don't know if they should let Paul Reubens write any part of this.
What do you mean? It's his character. He developed this.
Oh, I know. He's a bit more insane than anyone.
He's awesome.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
You know what? I guess you're right. We'll see what happens. He's going to go to jail.
Oh, he's been there.
The man...
I need to write a scene where I just masturbate on people's faces. That's my best impression. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I believe you're smearing some mud on his name here because the man did crack cocaine, and was arrested at a FAP theater somewhere in Florida.
I didn't even remember that. I was just saying in general.
It wasn't even. I don't think it was a FAP theater. I think he was just fapping
was
in
the
a
problem.
Theater.
Okay.
I think that's why he was arrested.
Yeah,
I think
it was
a children's
theater.
Movie.
Oh,
I'm almost positive.
He was seeing Snow White.
I mean, like Homeward Bound 2.
Good choice.
Orlando Before Time.
I mean, the important part, crack cocaine. I actually had a dream recently where I was present for the filming of his PSA, but it was not a PSA for crack cocaine. It was a PSA for crystal meth. And it was this beautiful, beautifully shot, almost like short art film with his PSA.
I think this is like a calling for you. Like, you need to make that.
I wish I had dreams like that.
Yeah,
I really do.
Pretty vivid and specific dream you had there.
I could go into the whole thing. You guys want to hear my crazy Paul Reubens?
It has like a full plot.
Let's do this and we'll reenact it like drunk history.
It was a whole experience. Basically, in the dream, it was misremembered that Paul Reubens had been convicted for crystal meth instead of crack cocaine. So he's down in the basement of this church filming this video. It's all against a white wall and there's lots of large crystal vases, like other crystalline things, glass objects, smooth glass objects that are glimmering against this white backdrop. And he's walking along the backdrop, and he's next. Then eventually, he's next to a small table where there's like what kind of looks like just beautiful glass-blown bongs and pipes and stuff, and other things that that a whimsical child might imagine that you smoke,
like a Dr. Seuss bong.
First of all, I don't even know how the fuck you take crystal meth. I just know that it's actually kind of a pretty name. So imagine that it was this beautiful crystalline, fairy dust drug. Fairy dust,
and you eat it like a hard candy.
Right. But he's telling everybody that it's. That it's bad, and then he ascends. Like he was on, the last step he takes. He's on a platform, and that platform raises up. And it's actually this. It was filmed in this bizarre, like I said, a basement of a church. But
I don't know why.
How do you get that specific?
But the way that it was done is that it was actually an open ceiling all the way to the second story of the building. The first floor was it's hard to describe this with words, but it was like what would have been the first floor of the building was a very steep set of concrete seats. It was like sloped upward. So he's on this crane and flies on this platform to the top where the actual there's kind of like a more church looking building where he's met by a cardinal. The religious person, not the bird. They shake hands and then you can see that he told him some kind of a joke and the cardinal's laughing and they're walking away. And I was seeing this not as myself necessarily, but from the perspective of sitting on these steps, which it was then explained to me somehow in dream logic that I've never seen Rebel Without a Cause, but that a single shot was filmed on these steps. This is a popular filming location in Los Angeles.
So you got the background story behind this fictional set in your dream.
Yes, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that like there was a shot of Marlon Brando like watching a carnival or something, sitting on these steps with a busted ear, like a bandages over his ear, this kind of bloody, like eating popcorn and laughing. Just that shot was filmed there on those steps.
This is a glimpse into Kathy's brain.
Does it go on?
It's beautiful.
That is it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
finito. Wow.
You know, if I were to describe one of my dreams, because I'm terrible at dreaming, I'd be like, well, I had a dream. Nikki was in it, and I think I was angry at her, and then I woke up.
That was,
you know, that's about as in depth as my dreams go.
Well, I mean,
and here you are. You've got a backstory for the set that this movie that you came up with.
Not only is it just like a dream that just magically appeared in your mind, but then someone came up and explained the things in the dream that you thought up. And...
See, I have dreams where like I'm at work or I'm doing laundry, so.
Maybe
that just
and then nothing happens and it's
and
over.
Then I wake up and realize I actually have to do those things because
those are called stress dreams.
Those like, are just called memories.
I recently conjured up a Predator sequel, which I posted to.
Was this a dream or did
it was a dream? No, it was a dream. A straight up dream. It was called Predator Gone Native, and I posted the whole thing to the forums. I guess we'll link to it on this episode's page.
Oh, yes,
I will not go into any of my dreams.
I think we need a whole segment on just Cap's dreams.
Yeah,
it was a bumper crop this past month. But like, I mean,
do you keep a dream journal?
At times I speak into my phone just after I wake up because it's the only way I can consistently
All right,
do it.
So this is something that we could do if you're interested in this segment. If you liked it,
I like it. I'm interested.
Let us know, and maybe we'll do a Cap's vivid dreaming segment on Nerdy Show.
You already have my vote.
The pressure's on. This doesn't happen too often.
You might have to keep a dream journal. It could happen whenever you feel like it.
Okay.
Like whenever it happens, we'll visit it.
How many hours do you stay awake before you fall asleep? Because I feel like staying up for 2 days straight sometimes that you probably do is what does it.
How many drugs are you doing?
None. Before?
Okay.
Negative. He's in the negatives.
I don't
for
even
drugs.
Take caffeine.
Yeah.
What?
I don't. Yeah. He's not on anything.
Clean living Cap.
His I'm brain, on at least three things just... right now. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, this is
it's too clear.
This is someplace we didn't expect to go to this episode.
Dreams, dream segment.
How does that make you feel?
What dreams may orgasm.
Yep. Where were we originally talking about movies? Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That worked out.
Mm-hmm. Totally did. let's switch gears. You were talking about, you're an SG-1 fan, Rob.
Totally.
Now, there's some new shows on Sci-Fi, one of which features lots of SG folks, right?
As in
Stargate for the initiated.
Of. There's been a couple of new shows on Sci-Fi that have interested me lately. It seems like they're trying to get back to their roots, because Sci-Fi used to be host to, like, Stargate and have actual real Sci-Fi shows on it instead of...
Didn't it? Hard to remember at this point.
Yeah, it's sort of like a distant memory
they
now.
They had Farscape, didn't they? Yeah. I love Farscape.
Yeah. But anyway, the show that I like the most is called Dark Matter, and it has a lot of the original crew and cast from some previous Stargate shows like SGU and Atlantis. Dr. Rodney McKay makes an appearance, and so does Elizabeth Weir, the people that played them, not the actual characters, because it's set in a completely different universe. But basically, the gist of the show, kind of to get you interested in it, it's a show where the crew wakes up out of these stasis pods. And they realized one by one as they're coming out of these pods that they have no memories. And they're going around to each other like, hey, do you have your memories? And it turns out everybody on this ship had their mind wiped. The first couple episodes are them trying to figure out who the heck they are and what's going on. Because they dropped out of warp at this mining colony and they don't know why. Like, they don't know why they're here. So they're like, let's go down and see.
Obviously, they're miners. I just figured it out.
And the database has also been erased from their ship. So they couldn't just look up, like, who's on this ship, you know?
Who's driving this thing?
Exactly. They start recovering files, though, and they start to piece together who they are. And it's really interesting. I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler, but they're terrible people before they got their minds wiped.
Well, I assume so, like, that's Lost. Why, like, this is a terrible punishment, or they're all being filmed and on a reality show they don't know yet.
No, they're basically terrible people before they got their minds wiped, but after they got reset, they're like
good people.
They're like normal people again, you know.
So it's a social experiment.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. The sci-fi elements are really strong and good. The story elements are just fantastic. You actually care about the characters. It's pretty fantastic, and I highly recommend it.
Is it anything similar to like SGU, where I know they were like on that ship the whole time?
It's not as drama oriented as SGU.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, I think, in my book. That's good.
You didn't like SGU?
It was very dramatic, but some of it was good. But I thought some of it was over dramatic.
It does have like the ongoing, like the story is taking place from one episode to the next. Like it's just leaving off and then picking it back up and leaving it off and picking it back up. So it's not like Atlantis where it's really contained and episodic.
Oh yeah. See, I thought it would be the formula where it would be like one long story arc, but you're saying every episode's different?
No. I'm saying it's not.
Got it. It's got not what you did there.
Contained there like Atlantis. It's more like SGU in that the story is continuing.
Good. I like shows like that.
There is another show that I've been trying to watch called Killjoys, which is also on the Sci-Fi Network. I would describe it as sort of a Cowboy Bebop plotline starter anyway, where it's basically following a small group of bounty hunters who are
space
just
cowboys.
Going about their bounty hunting pretty much. Every episode seems like this is our target, we got to do it. And then, you know, there's a little bit of a back plot. I don't like this show quite as much as Dark Matter. That's really super action oriented and it feels like a really cool action show, but it doesn't feel like a really involving sci-fi, if that makes sense, even though there's really cool spaceships and stuff.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Feels more like an action show, but it's really good too. If you like that kind of thing, Killjoys, another good thing to look out for.
Nice. Is it clever and witty?
Kind
of like a Firefly is like, oh, it's funny and
pretty
witty,
devoid of humor. That's probably one of the reasons why it's not really. Yeah. That's probably one of the reasons why I don't really love it.
Exactly.
So in the big decision of what next generation console do I get? Now, we've talked about this since E3's passed, and I finally committed, as everybody likely remembers from this year's E3 coverage, because of Rock Band, I've decided that I'm getting an Xbox One.
You have no choice,
instead of a PS4.
Really.
Right, because,
yeah, you're screwed.
Because I've invested my money into Rock Band 1, 2, and 3. I want all those songs to carry over.
You don't want to have to buy them again.
Right. And it's not Harmonix's fault. It's simply like the Microsoft-Sony compatibility. Those transactions cannot be interchangeable between platforms. So I got to get an Xbox One, and that's how I'm going to enjoy Rock Band 4. I'm going to enjoy Rock Band 4, especially because, at long last, the Protomen are in Rock Band.
Oh,
are you allowed
wow.
to say that now? Is that okay?
Yes, I'm allowed to say that now.
Good.
Yeah, I think it was Light Up the Night that got
Light
in.
Up the Night, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe.
It's only a matter of time before there's a track pack with the rest of it, because I'm sure that's gonna sway a lot of people into picking up Rock Band. That's
I actually saw Reanimator made a post where he said that he played it on Expert and he only got like 80-some percent on it. He's like, I really need to learn my own songs.
Well, I mean, the transition to the artificial guitar is not...
It's not perfect.
Oh, no, he's the drummer.
Oh,
he
well,
was playing
the
drums.
Maybe it's out of
You're
sync.
Right.
I don't know. The drumming's really hard, but, you know.
Yeah.
I forget their code names, man.
I do, too. I had to sit there for a second. I was like, wait, what is this?
We're getting that bundle.
Oh, no, the bundle has already been got.
Pre-ordered it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's in the bag,
for them,
man.
For them drams. We're getting them new drams.
We got the new drams.
Yeah, I got two metal kick pedals. We're going
to
hook that shit
up. It'd be exciting to see if Proto Men get more songs in like DLC form later on.
That's what I'm saying. That's a track pack, man. It's going to happen. I believe it.
Yeah.
I feel it in my heart. And but that does mean that there are games that I won't be able to play. Like a recent game that I just played, Until Dawn, which is a PlayStation game. I happened to have the fortune of being at a person's house who had this game, and I tried it out for a good like 40 minutes or so. Very interesting game. It's a horror game, and it pulls from a lot of the most successful story-based games. Lots of elements of Telltale storytelling in it, and Alan Wake storytelling. Lots of these like gameplay aspects of horror games are kind of remixed and regurgitated here into a game that is essentially a parody of horror films, but not a comedy.
Is it actually like kind of scary and frustrating? Like you don't know what's about to happen. It's nerve-wracking.
Like everybody's terrible. Like you generally don't like any of the characters. They're all a bunch of horny teens looking for trouble. They're going to screw and they're going to die.
Are you all trapped? I hear like you're trapped on in a thing on a mountain lodge or something. I don't know the plot 100%.
Yeah, yeah. It's you're at your rich friend's parents' mountain. Basically, they have a really nice house on a mountain. That they basically own the mountain, but it's not like the Umbrella Mansion. At least I don't think so. There's not much to it. Like I said, I only played 45 minutes. But...
Is one of the primary like game functions that you have to do powering your light source?
No.
It seems like a lot of horror games that I've played. It's just like find the batteries,
find the
fuel for your. Yeah, find the matches.
It's kind of like a chapter-based thing. I'm sure the gameplay switches because I was playing it for a really long time.
No, it does.
And I was still in...
You can play as all... I hear that you play between all the characters, like
right,
8 or 9.
You do. And you have no... As far as I got, you didn't have a choice about where you were.
Yeah, and I hear... I haven't played it. There's a lot of games that I'm playing right now, so I haven't played it yet. But I hear that a huge mechanic in it is the butterfly effect. Concept where you make where well, that's what they're calling it.
It's just funny because like it has branching paths, and this game wears
like
those,
a lot.
Yeah, it wears those branching paths on their sleeve so much so that one character has this discussion really early on, like just like presenting an example of the butterfly effect as though you, the gamer, aren't familiar with the concept of the butterfly effect, and emphasizing the thing that's happening throughout the entire game. Now, there's a lot of games out now that have these branching storylines. It's a pretty common concept, but this one's actually wearing the concept on its sleeve, being like, yep, the butterfly effect, never know what's going to happen. Play this game 8 times, it'll be different.
Yeah, that's one of the negative things I read about it, is that there's so many different things to do, and then when you start a new game, there's so many things that you have to write it down, and if you don't, it like starts over and you can't memorize it, so you don't know which paths you've done and haven't done, and you can't keep track of them, especially if you're wanting to like... I don't care about trophies that much, Cap. I mean, they're fun, but like they said, if you want to collect them all in this game, it's nearly impossible. You have to play things 5 and 6 times and like write everything down.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Now, is the premise of the game, if I heard correctly, was to save somebody? Like there was a girl that you have to save, or is it mostly just trying to escape?
Thus so far, it's kind of like, as far as I got, cause like I didn't play much of it, but it's sort of a save yourself kind of thing. It actually starts with an incident that happened the year prior with all these friends gathered together where two sisters disappeared. Though in my version, I don't know what it's like in every version, you see them die, but no one knows that they're dead. They could never find the bodies. They could never find evidence of what happened. There was a nasty prank on one girl, and she ran out crying, and then her sister followed her, and there was a guy with a flamethrower, and you're like, what's that? Is that even important? And then, like, there's another dude, and you fall off a cliff, and you're dead.
Yeah, I think the basic premise is, like, you're trapped on this, in this mountain, whatever. You can't get out, and there is someone trying to kill you all, but you don't know. It's not one of your friends. It's, like, someone or something is there, and you're just trying to survive. And that's I think, it.
So. Can you defend yourself?
So far the whole thing revolves around quick time events, and story decisions. Like it looked like it's a game that, first of all, it's gorgeous. Maybe it's because I haven't gotten desensitized to the next gen systems yet. I've never seen a game that looked this real.
No, really? It's a very pretty game in general. So
like the people, they look, it's like LA Noir on overdrive.
But also if you've been playing Nintendo a lot, then yeah, it looks incredible.
Which I have.
But it's a pretty game anyway. So.
And
so it's not like first person shooter style. No, it's not how you interact.
It's not like Resident Evil. It's not.
But it plays in a third person perspective to the point that I could believe it turning into a Silent Hill game. In fact, it has an awful lot in common with that amazing Silent Hill game that came out for the Wii.
Oh.
Is that where you're running and these creatures are chasing you through doors?
Well, that's every Silent Hill game.
Okay. But you couldn't, like, fight them off. You couldn't kill them.
Right,
you're just,
yeah,
like, running for your life.
Did you guys ever get to play PT?
Yeah, I still have it.
Oh, my.
I watched somebody play it.
You can't get it anymore.
Oh, it's, I know you forever. Can't get it. You can't get it anymore, but once you do the playthrough and you actually beat the game, there's no way to
Yes, there is.
How?
I think I figured it out, and tell me if I'm wrong. You just create a new profile real quick, and it's still on the system, and you click start.
A new profile?
You just create a new profile, and all the games are still loaded, and you just click it, and it starts a new save game for your new profile. Like a new
user.
Shut
your mouth.
Yeah. Done.
Sorry.
I'm never deleting it.
Oh, you are my new favorite person.
Thank
because
you.
Because before, what I did was I just deleted it. Redownloaded
it.
Now that you can't do that, like me and my roommates, we've just been sitting here like, but we love this game.
Okay, I have to give credit to my lady Danica, because I was sitting here going like, I started the game just because I like, it's so scary and I never get scared, and you just start in the last hallway at the very end and you can't restart. I'm like, god damn it, this sucks, I can never play this over. And Danica's just like, why don't you just start a new profile and then just click on it and it'll just do a new save game. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. I've been trying to think of that for months, and she's just like, whatever, just start a new profile. And that's how you start PT over again.
Ta-da.
There you go, everyone. There you go.
I don't know how to use computers.
Console problems.
Yeah.
Life is
hard.
That Silent Hill game for the Wii, by the way, was called Shattered Memories. I'm certain you can pick it up for like no money right now. And
I
you
loved
totally
it.
Should. It
I know,
was great.
I know it didn't get that great a review or even a sequel, but it was so good.
I loved it. Yeah, it was
I
so
love
good.
Drawing my house and coloring it in.
It's a Silent Hill game where it's truly a psychological experiment. Yeah, you
love drawing your house and coloring it in.
I know nothing about this game.
You
go to a psychiatrist's office and like, okay, describe your house to me, and then you see it in the game later the way you've drawn it. Like the colors
the game is purely a psychological experiment. You can't do any, you can't, there's no combat. You have to run. You're a completely weak, feeble human being.
I want to play this.
So like every horror game that I've played that is FPS style.
Well, you can't even attempt to combat. In all Silent Hills, you could at least like fight something. But in this one, it's like, no, you're defenseless.
You run, you throw objects on the ground, you block doors, and you run really fast, and everything's like turning to ice around you and trying to kill you.
And in this one, they use the storytelling method of a psychologist talking to you in between scenes to manipulate your experience. They do that exact same thing in Until Dawn. And it's really cool. And the psychologist is actually played by Peter Stormare, who plays Count Vertigo on Arrow. And he's there talking to you in between sequences.
The Arrow TV show?
The Arrow TV show, yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the writers or creators from that Silent Hill game had something to do with this. Maybe not, because I'm not looking at a computer screen to do research. But
And then weirdly, one of the teens is played by Brett Dalton, who's Ward in S.H.I.E.L.D. But they aged him down in the game, so he looks more like a teenager. But he looks like himself. Like, they've done like lots of motion capture, you can tell, and
facial
mapping. Study. Yeah. So they in this game Until Dawn, the psychologist is talking with you, analyzing your fears, and based on the things you tell him, that changes what happens in the game, the story, and the way the different ways that it's going to psychologically disturb you. So it has a lot of promise. I wish I could keep playing it, but sorry, buying an Xbox, can't play it.
Oh,
you can come over and play it. I'll get it for you.
Oh, thank you, Brandon.
And then I'll return it. I'm just kidding. I don't return games that are good, ever.
Yeah.
But I don't buy bad games, so it doesn't happen.
Did they explain why? Was it just budgeting as to why they canceled the Silent Hill game that PT was just made for?
It was
for?
Differences of every opinion and horrible
they
games.
They had such an epic trailer just to be like, we're not doing it
anymore. There's lots of conspiracy theories about why that is and what happened.
Konami.
For example, the falling out between Konami and Hideo Kojima.
I mean, it got canceled like, right after.
Yeah.
Like, he was leaving.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was easily one of the most talked about games out there. And no one, the politics of what's happened between Hideo Kojima's relationship with Konami, like,
we'll never know. They have too much honor. They'd rather commit seppuku than tell us. They're going to take it to their grave.
There was a rumor going around. There's a rumor going around, which is completely impossible, but I wish was true, that like Microsoft dropped a cool billion to actually buy the full
and finish the game,
the
or
full
something,
media rights to Silent Hill.
But they were just like, no,
it's not a real thing.
It was a rumor. I don't think it actually happened. If it did, oh my god, that's got to be one of the biggest
It'd be
transactions.
Funny if the game was
games.
Actually horrible,
but I mean,
though.
But I wish it was true, because Microsoft be like, Silent Hill is a transmedia property that's been highly successful, and Konami is running it into the ground. I think it deserves $1 billion because we're going to make several billion off of it.
No, Konami, I don't think will let... they won't sell it. They won't let anyone buy it. They want to make as much money. They're going to keep...
I just think they had
franchise.
Something so big and so beautiful.
Well, that's why it's such a big deal. They did. Just from that demo, it was the most amazing thing I've played in years.
Just crumble it up and throw it away.
Yeah, Konami and Capcom have both been really pissing me off lately.
Yeah.
You want to hear something Capcom did, speaking of which?
Unload.
Are you all familiar with the Breath of Fire series?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. Cap, you know Breath of Fire.
We've all
masturbated to Cat from Breath of Fire 2 several times. But, okay, Breath of Fire, amazing series. You know, Super Nintendo, PlayStation, PlayStation 3. Great games. You play as, you know, a guy who turns into dragons and shit, and anti-religion. Anyway,
subtext, guys.
1 through 5, well, 5 kind of sucked, but most of the games are great, and it has a huge fan following around the world. And the 6th installment came out in Japan this year, and it may or may not come to America. And here's the reason it pisses me off. I didn't look up anything about Breath of Fire 6 on purpose because I wanted to be really, really excited and surprised. I finally looked up what the game is, and they're like, this is the next huge installment in Breath of Fire. It is a web-based game. Wait, it's like a Java web-based...
Oh, no.
Java.
Like, it's like something you've played in like an RPG online, like a web browser in middle school. And they're claiming it's amazing. And yeah, it's a web-based game where you click... It was originally made for touchscreens, like iOS, Android, and like touchscreen Microsoft computers. So you click on the screen and you go and attack things. Now, the art style I really like. It's got all the original characters and slimes and things like that. But they're like, it has exciting battles. And I found like a 5-minute video and it's all like shitty frame rate and choppy character designs. And I'm like, Capcom is making a web-based RPG for one of their main franchises that's been around almost as long as Capcom has. And they're running into the ground. I'm really confused.
It's not a grid of colored dragons that you have to match 3 of them.
I would play that. I would rather play that shit because at least I know what I'm getting into. Like,
that is really surprising.
Xbox One is out. PS4 is out. Computers are great, right? I hear they're a thing. And they're just making a touchscreen shitty like game touting as like a huge masterpiece. And it's not. And there's a lot of like fans online. You can watch videos of fans just being like, fuck you, Capcom. So,
I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with Breath of Fire, then this doesn't affect you, but I'm a huge fan of their games, and it's really, really pissing me off. I shouldn't have looked it up. I should have just let it go.
I'm just curious as to why, like, were you serious? Do you know for sure that they are doing it in JavaScript?
Well, no, I mean, it's just what it looks like. It looks like poorly done Flash animations on a web
page. Brandon doesn't even really know what JavaScript is.
Yeah, it's made out of coffee. Don't, you know, mock me. It's okay. Coffee script. But... No, it's...
I thought of making a... Was it you that I was talking about that with?
You have talked to me before.
You know the old school, like, mud-based game? That's what it reminds
me of. Where it's thick.
Yeah, mud in Java. Yeah. Java mud. But no, it's you play it, like, in a browser, and it just looks like garbage. And I don't know how they can... In this day and age, in 2015, they're making a web-based RPG.
Yeah, like, it makes me really mad. Why would they make it out of Java when it should be HTML5?
Yeah, it's... No, they said fuck HTML5. We're using the coffee-based system.
Okay, in a cursory look at the Wikipedia page, I can find no details about what the fuck program it's written in.
They just really say web-based, and when you say that, I go, why? You could have done any other thing. But I've seen videos of it, it looks horrendous.
It's using Microsoft Silverlight.
No, it's just, no, no.
Which you may remember yeah. Microsoft Silverlight for the original implementation of Netflix. Remember when you had to have a really horrible plugin to watch Netflix?
You still do, actually, in some browsers. Silverlight is still a thing.
Ew.
Yeah.
I thought that was gone.
The other problem with Mighty No. 9 that I'm confused on is we played it at E3.
Yes.
And I loved it, and I was like, oh, this is like a Mega Man X game, and it's good, and that's all I wanted. And then there were people online saying, this is just like any other Mega Man game. And
isn't that what they wanted?
Exactly.
I thought that's what they wanted.
No,
it's
but
what I wanted.
There was a lot of like people going, well, I played it, a little hands-on demo, and it was like, it was bland. It was like any other Mega Man game. Why do I care about that? I'm like, that was the whole point.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
He can't make a Mega Man game anymore. She's making one of his own design. And I thought it was actually more cinematic, and the controls and the scheme were better than Mega Man games.
It's a beautiful game. It's a fun game, and I cannot fucking wait to play it.
Yeah, so
more than I already have.
That was confusing that people were saying about that because I thought it was great when I played it. So,
in other news, which we may close on, I think actually, Castlevania. This is some weird Castlevania news. The producer of the much beloved Dread recent live action film and the that weird Power Rangers hyper violent fan film. Adi Shankar, he is producing a animated Castlevania miniseries, hyper-violent for adults.
And I hear it's based on the third game, which is such a weird thing
yeah,
to
Castlevania
do.
3, Dracula's
really?
Curse.
Yeah, it's such a weird...
I mean, at least they didn't base it on 2.
This is just, like, out of nowhere for me, that it's just a very specific thing to animate.
Yeah.
No, 3 is really cool, hard. 3 is amazing, but really hard. So, not that it has anything to do with the show, I'm just saying.
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
No, it is. I don't know much beyond that. I just know that I want to see it. And if you haven't seen Dread, watch that, and then you'll probably know what you're getting into.
So because it's made from the same people with all the other films, like, I mean, I know all the other people are backing it, but are they expecting it to go to theaters?
It's a series. It's a miniseries.
It's right? Yeah, it's a miniseries. It'll be like animated television or...
Well, that's
or
what
web.
We were asking. Is it going to be like kind of like an online thing, or is it going to be like an actual television series or like a streaming? We don't know yet.
I mean, the people he's working with, like, he himself has done lots of web-based video stuff, but one of the guys who's also working on the project has a background in animated television, so it could be anywhere.
Okay.
It could be on Adult Swim. It could be on the web. I'm not sure.
I would like a hyper, ultra-violent Castlevania.
They should put
animated.
It on, like, FX. Something good.
If you want some hype, here's one thing Shankar said about it. It's going to be dark, satirical, and after a decade of propaganda, it will flip the vampire subgenre on its head.
It'll be satirical about it.
And then
vampires.
Halfway through, you're going to learn a new jump, and you have to backtrack through the entire series.
I can finally get into that castle now that I can double jump.
So... That's all we know right now.
They don't have any, like, projected dates or years.
No, or concept art or anything.
So it still might get dropped, so don't get excited.
Yeah, it could still get dropped like it is hot.
Yeah. Or if it's too cold, because too cold, I'd want to drop those too.
Am I right? Wear some fucking mittens.
Yeah.
Wasn't there also a Kickstarter project? I don't know if it succeeded
or not. It did.
It did succeed?
It did, to resurrect Castlevania from the original Castlevania creator.
How did that go?
He just said it succeeded.
Yay! I want new Castlevania. I always want new Castlevanias. Am I sick of the Metroidvania style? Yeah, it's kind of been way oversaturated. I want an old school Castlevania. I want a new Nintendo 64 Castlevania. Nintendo 64. I want it done in that graphical style for next gen. I want that style.
I did really seriously love the Castlevania games for Nintendo 64.
Those were like the best ones, and I can never go back and play them because I can't see 10 feet in front of me in those graphical styles anymore, but they were some of the most fun Castlevania games.
So here's a rundown. This game, it's exactly the same scenario as Mighty No. 9. It's the creator of a game who's not working on that game anymore, who's now created a clone of his game for the next generation of gaming, right? Okay, so it's not Castlevania. It's called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Bloodstained Vignette.
That's not a mouthful at all.
I might add, just like Mighty No. 9, Fangamer's also working on some of the merch for this project, or at least they have been. I know they were involved in some regards, and they were looking for $500,000, and they got $5,500,000.
Holy shit! That is
a
huge
something. I don't even know.
Let's kickstart. Yeah, like this fucking empty can I'm holding. Let's kickstart.
I mean,
that.
Somebody already did egg salad, so that's out.
Oh my god, $5 million. What could you make with that? Anything you want. You should flee the country.
You could build a house or
just
two
one
or
just
three.
One house for $5 million. Just one house with a golden toilet.
It's one, actually a
Metroidvania game, I guess.
Hey, name Brandon, it Castlevania.
You like suddenly chubbing up in front of your peers, right?
Yes, that I love nothing more than that.
Okay, well,
fact.
Hey, he's no Steve Bloom. But at $850,000 they funded voice acting by David Hayter.
What? Oh. I knew he had a price, and that's what it is. That's his price. Was it $850,000?
Yeah.
So he's agreed to it. It's done.
It's done, yeah.
Well, how many more David Haters could they get? Really? $850? Jesus, fuck.
Well, no,
well,
that's
for, like, the rest of the project, too.
I was thinking, like, damn, he's getting $850,000, but no, yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's $50,000 following the prior level.
I want to see what the $5 million stretch goal was. That's insane.
They might not have planned out that far.
Each backer gets a grapefruit. We can afford that now. Send it to your house.
I'm scrolling down. This is insane. Like the amount of stretch goals. That $5 million they got a roguelike dungeon, and
like new levels.
And $505,000 they got a boss revenge mode. Huh. But like it's got all the way to like 3 playable characters, prequel mini game.
It's gonna have the most like additions out of any game that's ever
coming
existed.
To Vita, Wii U.
What?
Man,
still have Vitas.
I'm the one that has it. I mean, I'm not going to get rid of it. Sometimes it just sits there. But
yeah, I thought you had the only Vita.
Oh,
really? There's free games every month. That's why I have it.
free games.
I actually wish I had a Vita. You can also play Borderlands 2 on it.
That's right. I don't know how good it is. But
you do you have to stream it to the Vita? Or does
no,
it...
you just download no, you just it.
On it. And you can also use it as a controller. Like, say you do have it on the PS4, you can join in via your PS Vita and use your
as
screen.
As, like, a multiplayer.
Yeah, you can be in the other room and, like, play with another person.
But that's really all the system does, though. It doesn't do anything else.
Really. Just, it has Borderlands
like,
2.
And talk it up for
you can
man.
Watch, like, maybe Netflix on it. Things your phone can do, whatever, you know.
So this has been our pilot episode of this new format of Nerdy Show. It's very, very chill, very conversational. We may do things differently as it develops, but we want to hear what you think about this format, what you'd like to hear. And in fact, you can influence the topics that we discuss here, because if you're a Nerdy Show patron, that means if you're donating at $10 or more a month, you're getting access to the Nerdy Show Lounge, a special Facebook group where all the hosts from all over the network, including people who work on Nerdy FM and all of our auxiliary shows like Epic Podcast, Bits, Rhymes, and Life, etc., etc.
And those other ones.
I mean, I could go and list every show we do, but that would the shows.
Minutes.
That's a long time. So all those folks, all those hosts, they're here on the Nerdy Show Lounge. It's a Facebook group, totally private, and you will have access to it. If you don't have access to it, then that means that either one, we haven't launched it yet, or two, you should probably respond to your Patreon messages and let us know what your name is on Facebook so we can add you. So we'll have conversations there, and those conversations could then influence what happens in this show. We're coming at you every other week in this format, and every other week, we'll be doing, you know, something else. Microsodes, interviews, single subject nerdy shows that you've come to know and love. But every other week, about twice a month, you're going to be getting one of these shows. Some Nerdy Show notes that you should be aware of. If you haven't yet checked it out, we have a new show on the Nerdy Show Network. It's called Liberty Critical Research, and it is the first scripted show on Nerdy Show. It's a dramatic program. It's an audio drama, and it's a sci-fi. So if you want to hear a sci-fi story up in your ear holes and in your thought brains, then this is going to be the show for you. It's tied into the upcoming Liberty comic book, and features lots of voice talent from folks around the nerd music scene and within the Nerdy Show Network who you may recognize. And it's coming every other Tuesday here on Nerdy Show. And along with this launch, we've also launched a new feed where you can get your fix for all of our dramatic programming. It's called Nerdy Show Theater, and it's on SoundCloud and coming soon to iTunes and Stitcher. And it's all of our RPG shows and anything else that kind of fits the audio drama format. Anything that's got an audio narrative, that's going to be your hub for that at Nerdy Show Theater. So it's nerdyshow.com/theater if you want to get to that page. And coming soon to Nerdy Show Theater, the long-awaited Call of Cthulhu miniseries. That's where we played the classic tabletop role-playing game Call of Cthulhu. And in the Call of Cthulhu mystery program, well, we're doing an 8-part audio drama, you know, in the style of Dungeons and Doritos, Ghostbusters Resurrection, Pokeballs of Steelix, completely improvised, actual role-playing that we've turned into a full narrative experience with sound effects and music. And this is going to be coming out twice a week, starting in late September and going through October. Also a reminder, Nerdy Show Book Club is now a standalone show, and it is back in action. So you best start reading Neil Gaiman's Ocean at the End of the Lane, because that's the next book that we're going to be discussing on Book Club. Don't forget, if you've got an opinion about Nerdy Show, then you should totally take the Nerdy Show survey at nerdyshow.com/survey. Tell us everything you want us to know about ways we can improve your listening experience. If you only got 10 minutes, we got a short survey for you. If you got a lot more time and want to provide us with extra details, we got a long survey. Please, please, please let us know what you think, because your opinion is very valuable to us. And yo, while you're at it, while you're doing things that we're suggesting that you do, and thank you very much for doing them, you should tell your friends about Nerdy Show, because we need more people to listen. We got to spread the gospel. If you like Nerdy Show, then you best tell your friends to check out Nerdy Show. We've got so many programs we do here. There's got to be something that they're going to really dig, and you can share that with them. And togetherness and handholding and hugging and kissing and French kissing and insertion, that's what we're all about here at Nerdy Show.
Friends with Nerdy Show benefits.
Sharing is caring.
And doing for others is your own reward. So do for Nerdy Show. And do it with your friends.
I'm leaving all of this in.
Yeah, no, please do.
I'm glad. I want that one.
This episode is brought to us by cotton candy grapes.
Yay.
The great taste of cotton candy inside of a grape. Taking us out is a remix by Benjamin Briggs with a special squiddy flavor. This track comes from an amazing Splatoon mixtape called Splatoons, put out by DJ Cutman's record label Game Chops. Splatoon easily has one of the best game soundtracks this year, and these mixes are a perfect complement. It's 12 artists and 15 tracks of inky goodness. So here's Ben Briggs' entry, Stay Fresh! With an Inkopolis News Flash. Since this episode's recording, the Splatfest has occurred and resolved. Here are the results. Autobots won the popularity vote, but when it came to brutal squid-on-squid combat, Decepticons won the battle. When the percentages totaled out, it was Decepticons with the win. The future looks bleak, guys. Hide your Energon.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Farts just kind of happen.
True, but...
I have something to say about fart.
Can you save that for the sci-fart section of
my
the
name,
show?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll develop something on the fly that we'll all like. Or I don't know.
Or
I was just trying to tell you what I was developing, but he didn't.
Well, let's talk about it then.
I am developing something for the farce section right now. Actually, it's going to be original, unique, and you're going to find
diarrhea
out
what it is.
It might actually not be a fart at all. It might be something no one's ever heard or smelled before.
If that happens, you just have to like record yourself in the bathroom, and we'll just like.
It kind of frightens me. It might change the very fabric of this room and the floor.
He wouldn't even record himself in the bathroom with the squatty potty. Why would he do anything for us now?
It'll change the fabric of this carpet forever.